Et Naim, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of First Generation, One of Many. Our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about first-generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with first-generation students. So I'm Theresa. Thanks for joining in today. And of course, I'm doing this with my co-host, Joshua. Hey, Joshua, how are you?
Great, Theresa. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Another day.
Yes, it's exciting though. I was away, got to go vacation with family off on the coast. And it's exciting for this episode because I left my laptop charger in the cabin where I was staying. So now I'm recording our first episode ever from a Chico Flex classroom that we'll be rolling out in the school year coming up. So that's kind of fun.
I wish they could see the video portion of this just to see where you're at, but they'll have to use their imaginations for it.
Yeah, if you want to imagine the high flex cameras, they follow the instructor around the room, almost 360 degrees, depending on the room you're in. Some of the rooms, a little bit less, but yeah, it's amazing. And it's really, in the ability to catch up with high flex, it's already been around for a number of years, now offer this opportunity for students to be able to come and be in the classroom or be at home and watch the class. And so that's really going to be fun. But yeah, so I wanted to at least now I can keep testing it out and practicing with it. So let's move on into our topic for today and our discussion today. We're going to be talking with two different guests about experiences for first generation international students. But first, our quote for the day. Nobody can discover the world for somebody else. Only when we discover it for ourselves does it become common ground and a common bond, and we feast to be alone. And that's from Wendell Berry. So, like we said, we have two wonderful guests to kind of talk about their experiences working with and being an international student, because they both got to be international students at one point in time.
Yes.
So Theresa, you want to introduce our first guest?
Yes, I do. So it's my pleasure to introduce one of our first guests. His name is Amra. He is a first-generation international student from Mongolia, Chico State. He is majoring in business administration, specializing in marketing. For some reason, he just likes talking to and spending time with people, so he is sure that you'll enjoy talking with him too. Nice to meet you, Amra. Thanks for joining in with us today.
Okay, thank you guys. Thank you guys for inviting me, and I hope you guys are doing good during this time.
All right, thank you, Amra. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And we don't want to, and did you say your last name, Erdenetuya?
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good one. Yeah.
can you say it for us then?
It's Erdenetuya.
Erdenetuya. Okay. Excellent. Wow. Thank you.
Your accent is so good.
Thank you. I love learning new languages, as Tasha knows, and Teresa. Just I like practicing them and trying to make it sound good. So thank you. That's good to hear coming from you. Thank you. So our next guest, and some of you, if you're a listener, you may recognize her name and voice, or if you're around Chico State long enough, you may know her. But we have Tasha Alexander is an international student advisor and co-chair of the First Generation Faculty and Staff Association here at Chico State. She has been working in the field of higher education for 20 years and specializes in working with college students from diverse backgrounds, specifically international and first generation. As the first in her family tree to earn a college degree, she's passionate about supporting first-gen students in achieving their academic dreams. Welcome back, Tasha.
Thanks, Josh. Thank you. I love being invited.
you were a guest on episode one?
It was toward the beginning, yeah.
Were you on there with Michael Brown?
I think that's right.
Yeah, so you were episode
two. A long time ago.
Episode two, because episode one, I totally forgot, was just me and Teresa by ourselves. So, but yes, so welcome back. It's great to have you again.
Thank you. And
see you again. So let's jump right into our discussion for the day. Can you share a memorable experience you've had being an international student or working with international students? And whoever wants to jump in first.
Do you want to go ahead, Tasha?
Sure, I'll go first. That is such a great question, because there are so many possible examples that I could come up with. First, I would say that as someone who studied in a foreign country, I actually studied abroad in Mexico when I was an undergraduate student, and I studied and lived in Spain when I was a graduate student, many, many moons ago, both of those experiences. And it's truly difficult to even imagine what my life would be like, or who I would be, how I would think, how I would interact with other humans if I hadn't had those experiences, becoming fluent in a second language, which was a dream of mine, using that language in a variety of different contexts, professionally and personally, making lifelong friendships with people that are like family, that come from completely different backgrounds. It's just such a rich life experience. And I think probably one of the biggest impacts that it had on my life was having an opportunity to look at the way I do things, or what seems to be just kind of commonplace, normal, the way one does things, you know, in your own culture, and having an opportunity to say, oh, well, gosh, I've been to 35 different countries around the world, and they do it this way there, and they do it this way here. And which way do I want to do it? You know, maybe these other ways of doing things might actually improve and enhance my life, rather than just doing, kind of going along, right, with the norm of what you normally would do. So I'd say that would be my first answer.
That's great. And I think that's really enlightening, though, because a lot of students that I hear from who are thinking about studying abroad, that seems to be some of their reasoning they want to do it, is some of the stuff you said. So it just kind of reaffirms, like, hey, these things can happen for you.
Yeah. And I was the first in my family to go to college, the very first person in my family to get on an airplane to go to a foreign country, other than my dad, who had been in the Vietnam War. So he had traveled in a different, very different way. But yeah, I was the first person to go and explore like this. And you know, I was financial aid was paying my way. I had a big scholarship the second time. So there's also this sense of, you know, as a first gen student, just to bring it back to the theme, of course, of what we're talking about, you know, you're a first gen student, and you're breaking boundaries that you just never even envisioned for yourself, and no one in your family even thought that you would go and do something like that, right? So it's a really big and profound thing. And I think it's actually really impossible to overstate the tremendous impact that it has on your life.
Nice. Yeah, that was so emotional.
Amra, how about you?
Yeah.
For me, I think that studying abroad is not only an opportunity to obtain like quality higher education, but most importantly, it's an opportunity to like find your like true self by leaving your comfort zone, I think. Like, for example, by studying abroad, students understand that there are like many different perspectives on like even simple things for example, like when it comes to like dining, like how to eat something, like some kind of like specific food, and also like meeting with people with diverse backgrounds, it just helps you to be like more open-minded and just have some sympathy on people, you know, like because everyone has different background, and ultimately, like I guess it just helps students to discover like themselves while also building and pursuing their like ultimate goals and stuff.
That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And with, you kind of touched upon our next question with a little bit about your experience as an international student. What are some issues as an international student that you feel that you faced when coming to Chico State? And is there something that you wish would have happened differently to better your experience?
I think there are like several obstacles that international students face when they first arrive in Chico, but I think the biggest issue is just feeling lonely because you're like far from the people you need for your whole life. Mm-hmm. And also like some other issues are like transportation and housing, but I feel like Chico State is trying its best to make their experiences better. For example, like when I first came here, like there were like list of events that would happen each week, and by attending them, I would just make myself busy and feel surrounded by people. So I think Chico State is doing a great job to like improve international students' like experiences.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's awesome. I'm glad you attended I know, Tasha, you have a lot to do with the support international students feel when they come to Chico State. In your experience, what would you say some of like the overall general issues are that international students come to you to talk about or that they face?
That's a great question. They're, you know, everything's different, right? You have to adjust to a time zone change in the beginning. So there's a lot of kind of trying to learn all that you can during an international orientation when you have jet lag and you haven't slept for how many hours, right? So, you know, trying to, I think, hold on to all of that information and really, and it's your second language. So you're trying to, you know, to make sense of all of this wonderful support and information that's given to you, but it's at a time when you're, you know, you're maybe a little exhausted and a little off and not quite catching everything. So I'd say definitely in the beginning, there's a lot of struggle just to figure out how things work, where things are, right? Some simple things like you get to the United States and your SIM card and your cell phone doesn't work. So how do you communicate? How do you get your needs met? How do you get an Uber if your cell phone isn't set up yet from the airport, right? So, you know, real logistical things like nuts and bolts things like that, trying to furnish a house, you know, when you just moved there, where are you going to sleep if you moved into an apartment that's unfurnished? You know, there's not a bed there yet, you know, those kinds of things. So there's a lot of adjustment parts to it. And then, you know, there are also all kinds of really interesting academic differences. You have to get used to the U.S. Academic style. And for a lot of students, it's so different from what they're used to back home. Perhaps they went to a university or to a high school where you had to memorize the answers to things and nobody ever asked you what your opinion was or what you thought about something. You weren't asked to put your own personal spin on things. And so you kind of freeze, right? When you're asked, what do you think about this? We want your take on it. And you've never done that before. So those kinds of things can be an adjustment. Lately, the technology is a big deal, of course. All of us are dealing with that, including American students. But we have another interesting layer that's happening now with the pandemic, where we have students coming to the United States and having isolation periods where they need to isolate right when they get here, mm-hmm. or test within 3 to 5 days after they get here. How do I do that? Where do I go? So there's a lot of extra layers happening right now due to the pandemic as well. So it's a lot, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, when you come in as a first year student, right, as an American student to an American university, there is so much to adjust to. And as a first gen student, when no one in your family has ever gone to college, right, you got to figure it all out and figure out how to navigate it. Who do you ask what? Where do you go? What do you do? Well, then you add an additional layer for our first gen international students. And so they've got language differences, they've got time zone differences, they've got homesickness, but like miles and miles and miles away. And then they have an academic system that's completely different from what they're used to. So, wow. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And they do it beautifully. Yeah. Yeah, you can only imagine how much people grow, like even after the first semester, right, Amra? I'm sure you feel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like you're like, I did that. I did that. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It just makes you proud.
Yeah.
It makes me think for Amra, you were here in Chico, and then you went back home. So what, and that would be interesting to hear, what was that experience like when you went back home to be back with your family? What was that like after you were here in the United States for a whole school year?
Actually, I went home after like 2 years, so it was quite emotional. And it kind of made me sad because my family consists of only me and my single mother. And like seeing my mother being happy just to like see me, that was making me so sad because I felt like I should have been like there for her when times are like not good, but I wasn't there. So it kind of made me sad. But at the same time, I was happy, you know, like eating my favorite food and meeting with my high school friends and just like helping out my mom.
And what's your favorite food?
I would say it's meat because like there is no such thing as like Mongolian traditional food because we only have some onions and meat. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
So just to eat it there was better than if you made it here at home by yourself in California.
Yeah, because I heard that it's because of the way that like Mongolians and Americans like process their like meat, I think. It right. Changed the taste so much. Yeah, I'm not sure though.
Wow, yeah. That's great to hear. Now, Tasha, you kind of touched on it with a couple of things, but you, one of our next questions we wanted to hear kind of, and from you, Amra, too, because of COVID in the last school year, what have been some of the challenges or obstacles or situations that international students have been working through to navigate to remain being international students or having to decide, you're like, oh, do I want to continue being an international student? Because you mentioned, you know, that the automatic quarantine, isolations, and depending on the country that someone comes from, Tasha, is that time period different or is it all the same? For the students you're working with? And then, you mentioned, you know, being tested within a certain time period also once they get here. But what are some other things you've seen them navigating through to maintain the what you've already talked about, both of you, this dream of being able to kind of discover yourself and develop these new skills and learn new things about life? What are some things you can share you've seen?
Yeah, I think it would be great to hear Amra's story of what it was like being here inside of the United States when the pandemic hit and we went online and kind of your journey through all of this. Amra, I'd be really curious. And then I can follow up maybe with a little bit more information about what's happening in a more broad sense.
Oh, yeah. I think it was one of the biggest challenges that international students face. For example, like even going back to my home country after school like moved all online was impossible for me because Mongolia wasn't accepting anyone from the States. So I was just stuck in here. My lease was ending and there was like so many things to worry about. And if you guys remember, like, there was some kind of like decision by the Trump administration that all the international students have to leave the country and stuff. But Mongolia wasn't accepting anyone from the state, so I was so worried about it. And I'm sure that I wasn't the only one. I think there were like many students who were in the same position as me. And I'm sure that it had like bad impacts on mental health to many students, because I know that many of my friends were like some kind of like depressed after not leaving their home or like not leaving their room for days, maybe like several months, just worrying about their family and maybe also their finances and their studies. And it's just hard because you also have to worry about your family, because even coronavirus is like also a big thing in like other countries. So yeah, I wouldn't say it was easy and nice, but I think it passed.
How is Mongolia doing around with the virus there now? Has it been improving steadily, or is it in a good place when you were there? Because you just got back from Mongolia in the last week, right?
Yeah. I think like coronavirus timeline, it was different for like each countries. For example, like when the coronavirus numbers hit their like highest in the States, in Mongolia at the same time, it was the lowest. We had only one case of coronavirus, but as the time goes and the numbers in the States has declined, Mongolian numbers like started to rise. So when I last came here last week, everyone in Mongolia was like wearing a mask and everyone was trying to be vaccinated. But okay, at the same time in the States, people were like ditching masks, and some people were like even against the vaccination. Right. So yeah, I think it was very interesting for me to experience like both sides of like these two countries.
Oh, I bet, yeah. That's a pretty unique experience, despite the number of people we're talking about who are international students and things. That's still a very small number of people that get to have that and kind of see the experience on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And Tasha, yeah, did you want to add to some of the things you've seen, sure, you've, yeah, worked with?
Yeah, I think what Amra was describing is exactly what we were hearing from students. On our side, we were helping students figure out if they should, you know, when the pandemic first hit in March of 2020, should they go home or stay inside of the US? And one of the biggest concerns was, as Amra mentioned, that there was this threat that came out that all international students would be sent home, which was impossible for so many students for so many different reasons. Like Amra said, he wasn't even able to get to his home country. The borders were closed, right? So there were really real reasons why many students could not go home, wanted to stay here. Their families wanted them to stay here and not be traveling at a time when, you know, people are getting sick. And so that was a really very challenging, very scary time. But that quickly got overturned. And so students were able to stay here and study from inside of the US. And there was the isolation and the mental health struggles that a lot of students had, you know, not leaving their house, being far away from their families, worrying about their families, getting sick back home. Many of our students, their families members did get sick. We have international Wildcats whose family members died during the pandemic, and they couldn't get home right away. So you can imagine what impact that would have on a person. We have international Wildcats whose families lost their businesses because everything shut down in their home countries. And so here they are in this country and they can't get money, you know, to their children here. And that's their only form of support. So there were a lot of hard times, but I will say that the students are incredibly resilient. I mean, every student that I worked with, they were working hard, doing their best, moving mountains to make sure that they could complete their studies. I've been inspired by the students that I've worked with, and I've just learned a lot about what it means to really value your education and to make it happen no matter what, you know, and to not take it for granted even one day. So that's been really something. Yeah. And as far as your question, Josh, about international travel at this point, there are 14 nations that are on a list of a do not fly to the United States kind of zone. But the current administration is very pro-international student, really believes that international students are vital to the security of our country and to the structure of our country. And therefore, there is an automatic, those students are automatically, if you're an F1 student, if you're an international student, you're automatically allowed to come into the United States from those 14 countries. Which is wonderful. One of the biggest challenges that our students are having right now is trying to fly through some other countries that have do not fly rules. And so, for example, it's so common, right, to be coming from, let's say, India and fly through Germany on your way to the United States. But those flights are not permitting maybe students from India to go through Germany, for an example. And that may not even be true today. It might've been true yesterday, but not tomorrow. So things are shifting quickly. The rules are changing. They are different in every single country and they change in every single country very quickly. So, you know, international education right now is a moving target. We're just doing our best to keep up with it and to help students in any way that we can, whatever the new rule happens to be at the moment.
So with all the different changes and people, like I said, students having concerns of leaving their country, but then getting to another country that says, oh, now you can't leave this country per se. Are you seeing a drop in international students right now? Or is it, what's it looking like for Chico State's campus?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, we're looking good. I think our new international student population is the highest, I believe that it's been since 2014. So it's actually increased a tremendous amount. And we actually have students coming in from countries that we either have never had a student from that country before or are very few. So we're seeing students from more places and we have more students. So that's pretty exciting.
That's great. That is a test testament to what great work you all are doing in the International Studies Office to get the information out and bring people here.
Yeah, we've got a really great international admissions team led by Steve Wildauber and Bethany Pinnegar, and they are out there sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning at international fairs online. They've been doing everything actually online, right? Everything's shifted. So they've been working sometimes, you know, I don't know, 16-hour days just to be able to make this happen. But it's pretty exciting just to see the fruits of their labor. We're all really excited.
That's amazing.
That's wonderful.
That's amazing, yeah. And in terms of, so when it comes to speaking about international students coming to the United States to study, what are the requirements that they have to fulfill to be able to come to the US to be able to pursue their education?
I think it depends on many things, such as like what your major is or what type of school you are planning to attend, whether it's a college or university or even just a language school. But I think that the most important requirement is language, like test scores, such as like IELTS or like TOEFL. And also, like if you are from like specific type of country, there is a chance that the American ambassador might deny your visa application just because you do not have like big savings or you seem a little bit suspicious. So I think like if you can't get your visa, even if your GPA is like 4.0, you can't come to the States. So I think it's the biggest requirement for many of the students.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've never heard of that. And what was your experience when you were applying to come study here to Chico State? Did you feel like it went pretty smoothly or was there something that you ran into that kind of was an obstacle in your way?
Before coming to the States, I was studying abroad in Tokyo, Japan, and maybe because of that, my visa application was quite easy. But my best friend, she's coming here this semester and I helped her visa application this summer and it was so difficult. There were like hundreds of questions about like finances and like the ambassador was asking like almost everything about her life, like how did you buy this computer, like who pays for your phone, like which hair salon do you go to. There were like so many questions, so I think it's one of the biggest challenges.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone's experience is different.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And it's like very highly depends on like what is your home country. For example, like if you are from like big countries like Germany or maybe like from like Spain, mm-hmm. or like Australia, it's quite easy. But if you are from like small countries with not so much development, it's mm-hmm. not easy.
Got you. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Tasha, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think that's a really great illustration, right, of another challenge that our international students are confronting. And it does differ from country to country, and it differs from whoever is in the White House, you know, as well, kind of how what the experience is like. Yeah. So it changes over time.
Yeah.
You know, just when you think you get used to something, things shift and change, and our international students are, you know, adapting to that as well. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. I would have never guessed everything that students have to go through to come in. It's real. I feel like the application process in general personally for me, like to apply, you know, I'm already here. I just have to apply to the different schools and I don't have to add any extra obstacles besides already being like first gen student, but that's, yeah, layers upon layers upon layers, and you're here with us. So, I mean, be incredibly proud of yourself. I'm super excited to be able to meet you and hear your story.
Thank you so much.
Now, Amra has been just nothing but a joy to work with from the first day that he arrived. And he's actually doing an internship in our office. He's an international student ambassador. He'll be beginning this fall, and we're so excited that we get to work with him. So he'll be attending those international fairs, right, to talk to students about Chico State, and he'll be working with new students to help them get adjusted and helping us think outside the box with new and innovative ways to really support our continuing students too. So
that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. And so Tasha, and you say people coming in to our campus, do you get a wide variety of students who are just finishing their high school years in their country, or are many of them have already been out of that phase of school, or what kind of demographic numbers can you share with us around some of those things?
That's a really cool question. So there is a cultural difference in the United States where it's a bit more common, and in some other countries too, where maybe it's common to take a gap year or to come in as an older student, but that's not the case in a lot of countries around the world. You would just go directly on to university kind of no matter what, or you'd go out to the workforce, right? And so going back to college is a little bit less common than it might be in the United States. I don't know how it is in Mongolia, Amra. Is it common to go back to college later in life, or?
I don't think it's common, because like if you go to college when you're like over 25, people's gonna like look at you and think you're a loser or something like that. So I don't think it's quite common.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah, culturally, it's just a different situation. So. Yeah. So to answer your question, Josh, I'd say that most of our students coming in are first year students and graduate students, you know, their first year of their master's degree program. And then we also have transfer students from U.S. community colleges. That's another group that is quite large that come to Chico State as well.
Oh, cool. And as far as what are some other, do you have any other demographic numbers you can share that kind of highlight the students who are here currently of, you know, possibly, like I did this one, it's been about 2 years since I've looked at the details, but we had information back then that we had students here at on campus from 37 different countries.
Right.
But do you have some of those numbers, or?
I do.
Any other fun numbers that you could share so people could kind of see that? And even the total number would be great, because I think a number of faculty may be surprised to, you know, to really realize that they might possibly have an international student in their class.
Right. I'm pulling up our participant spreadsheet right now, and I can give you a little bit of an idea of a few fun data points here. Just give me a quick moment.
Let's see, what would be some of our guesses about the total number and which country has the most students that have come from one country?
Great.
That's our fun factor trivia for the day. I'll guess 1,072 total students. And I'll say the number student with the most, I'll say is, just from meeting a number of students, Saudi Arabia. Those are my two guesses.
Those are your guesses?
You want to guess? Amra, you want to guess? I mean, you work there. You might know this just by meeting people you have met.
Honestly, I have no idea.
Well, I have no idea either. I was just throwing some things out there because I have no idea.
Okay, so...
Teresa, no guess? Teresa, no?
Yeah, Teresa, did you want to make a guess?
No, I'm scared to guess and be completely wrong. I know what the facts are.
All right, so we're expecting approximately 308 international students to be with us this
year. 700.
Josh lived out my nightmare. Thanks, Josh.
And that would include new students and continuing students. And our biggest country of where students come from, Josh guessed Saudi Arabia.
Is it Japanese?
It's not Japan, but Japan is one of our larger sending countries.
Oh, so that's India?
India. Wow. Yeah. And I think India and this other country are kind of almost neck and neck.
China.
That was my guess, China.
China's a good guess because that's up in the top five pretty much all the time for us.
Is it like Mexico?
Oh, no. Actually, Mexico's pretty low for us. I don't even think we have anyone who's a Mexican citizen here at the moment as an international student.
I was going to get Spain next.
Spain is, no, actually, believe it or not, that's one of the top places for American students to go. But we don't have very many Spanish students who come to Chico.
Is it German?
We have quite a few German exchange students coming and a few degree-seeking students, but...
United Emirates?
That's a good guess. That's always in our top five.
Oh, is it...
Or top 10. Oh, Amra knows.
Is it like there's one country in the Middle East
That's right. Kuwait.
Oh yeah, Kuwait. Yeah, because of their government scholarship, right?
Okay. Yep. So Kuwait and India are probably our top two sending countries at the moment. India, I think, just recently edged out Kuwait.
Oh wow.
But then China's always up there, United Emirates is always up there, Japan is always up there.
Mm-hmm. So is the number then of India, is that like around 45 students roughly? I mean, you say it's the most, is it that many or more?
For India, I don't have this coming year's total number of Indian students, but I will tell you that it's, let's see, hold on a second. I can give you it's over 100.
Okay.
That's a good number.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's not true. I take that back. It's not over 100. Hold on. I'm asked to do math. 30 plus, it's going to be somewhere, because we still are waiting to hear how many of our new admitted students will be coming. So it's going to be somewhere between, I would say, 60 to 80.
Okay. Yeah. And I was about to let Liz, if you're listening to the episode, whatever numbers you heard come out of my mouth, disregard any of those numbers, because I was just guessing, and I don't want to mislead people. And the International Studies Office is thankful I don't work there. So I'm
looking up the total amount of countries that students came from last year while we're still talking about this. Let's see here. International student profiles. We don't have this year's numbers yet, obviously, because the school year hasn't started yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I will tell you, spring of 2021, how many different countries did we have? We had 45 different countries. So students at Chico State from 45 different countries around the world.
Oh, 45, that number's gone up since a couple years ago when I was doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and it's going up again.
Okay, that's great to hear. Now, in those 45 countries, do you count the United States?
Do not.
So 46 countries.
Wow. Right, that's a good point. Yep.
No, that's fun. And in Canada, we have at least one or not many from Canada.
Canada, at the moment, we do not have any students from Canada. Although we are, I know that we have, I'm not sure. Sometimes Canada, believe it or not, the students will come through a program that we call National Student Exchange, even though Canada is clearly a different country. They also participate in that program. So sometimes we have students that aren't counted in our international side.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, neat. Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, the social construct of time has now hit us in the face once again. So we're going to have to almost wrap it up. But before we do, we're going to have our recommendations. Okay. So Amra, what do you have to share with the listeners for recommendation?
The one recommendation I have is Chicago Community Observatory in Upper Bidwell Park. It's just a beautiful place to just go for a stargazing and explore the universe. It just makes you feel so magical, if you know what I mean. So I would highly suggest going there, especially when it's like completely dark outside, maybe at like 1 a.m. or like 2 a.m. So please go there and enjoy it.
Yes, so if you haven't already been there, that's the Chico Community Observatory right across the entrance to the Bidwell Park Golf Course. Mm-hmm. So you do have to walk in or bike in if you go after certain hours, because they do close the gate, so you can't drive in after a certain time, but it is a great place. Definitely, thanks for sharing that one. And I'll go ahead and share my first recommendation, then it's connected to that, because you mentioned that. It's one I've been using quite a bit the last few years for myself and my kids. It is called Skyview Lite, L-I-T-E. It's an app on your phone, and then you can just open it up and point it anywhere around you, underneath you, and it tells you what constellations, what stars, what planets, you can see satellites, the International Space Station, any way you point in any direction, and then you can highlight a specific star, and it gives you the names of all the stars and all the planets and everything. So, and then it shows you different constellations as you move around as well. It's a really, really great app. So me and my family use it when we go to the observatory, just to kind of figure out some of the stuff we're seeing there. Because you get to see, which is amazing, right? You leave Chico, you're only a few minutes away from being in town, but you see tenfold more stars because of the lack of the city lights. It's amazing how many more stars you can see just being right there. So thanks, mm-hmm. Amra, for that. That's great. All right, Tasha, what do you have for the listeners?
Before I give mine, I just had to say that my wonderful colleague, Cindy McKay, who Amra knows well, she's the coordinator of International Student Support Services. She loves to tell this story of how she once asked an international student who was new to Chico, so tell me, you know, what's different here? You know, what are your observations about life in the U.S. and in Chico? And he said, oh, Cindy, the only thing that's the same here are the stars in the sky.
Wow.
So I just love that you chose stargazing. So my favorites are, I've been listening to a couple of podcasts that have really helped me during the pandemic to make sure that I can keep my spirits high and feel happy and healthy and whole. And the first one is The Happiness Lab. It's a podcast by Dr. Lori Santos, and she is a professor who studies and researches what it means to be happy. And she interviews people from all around the world, different cultures, different religious beliefs, different faith backgrounds, and learns more about what their perspective of happiness is and the good life, right? And so I get all kinds of wonderful tips and ideas from that podcast. The second one is the 10% Happier podcast. That's with Dan Harris, and that's a mindfulness podcast. And he has people come, mindfulness practitioners from different faiths come and talk about meditation and mindfulness and leading a more authentic life. And he also has an app that I highly recommend if you're wanting to learn how to meditate, or you are a meditator and would really like to go deeper into the practice. And then Ma Muse was my final one. That is a local Chico band. If you haven't heard of them before, Ma Muse. And they have a Spotify channel. And we've been listening to that lately during International Student Orientation because it's a local Chico band. And we like to introduce our international Wildcats from around the world to their music when they come to orientation.
All right, yeah, that's great. They were here in town a number of years ago already. So I haven't seen them around, obviously, the last year and a half or so. Haven't seen any bands around. So it'd be good to see if they are still around.
They used to be amazing live. So if you do get to catch them live, it's an experience. It's really just lovely music. And it's usually a really beautiful ambiance, too.
All right. And Teresa, do you have any to share with us?
I don't have anything new this week. I always come back to my same podcast that I listen to, or at least that's my default when I feel like I don't know what to do anymore with my life and I'm at home. I either watch TV, have a couple of new, but I'm terrible at watching TV because I start episodes and I get to like episode 3 and then I start a whole other show. But I would probably say my to go to podcast forever will be Crime Junkie and My Favorite Murder. Clearly love true crime, so some people get a little freaked out by it, but they're really good. I think the host of both of them, first of all, Ashley Flowers is like an amazing storyteller. She's from Crime Junkie, her and Britt, and then My Favorite Murder. I would just feel like Karen and Georgia have this very amazing banter back and forth. They make you laugh, and it's not always about true crime, and they're just very authentically themselves. So if you just want to, you know, lose your head in a little something, I would recommend those two podcasts.
Teresa, we are meant to be friends. Those two are two of my favorites. They're right there.
Oh, my God, perfect. I love them.
Love them. Yeah.
Amazing. What about you, Josh? What do you have for us?
Oh, I'm playing a little of the Mob Muse for you all. So yeah, this is a nice. Great song, Power of Kindness. Ooh,
I
believe in the power
of kindness. I like this.
Okay, so that's a quick taste there. So that their website will be in the show notes. That way, if you don't have Spotify or don't go to Spotify, you can go to their website. They have all their music posted there as well.
And I think they're on Pandora too. There's a Mamu's Pandora station as well.
Great. So, all right, again, well, thank you all for being here. Amra, great to meet you. Look forward to seeing you now around in the upcoming weeks, months, hopefully. Tasha, always wonderful to see you again. Thank you. And Teresa, of course, I have been bugging you enough over the last year, but I still love seeing you. And at least you smile when you see me, so thanks.
I can say that even, you know, for the listeners, it is true. She is smiling.
Yeah.
Thanks, Josh.
He took some really good acting classes these last few months.
I'll pass over the recommendations. I'm just kidding.
All right. Well,
all right.
Again, thank you so much.